In the opening chapter of Luke's Gospel, we have seen in previous weeks the promise given to Mary that Mary would bring forth a son whose name was Jesus. And what a tremendous announcement that was, and how startling it was for Mary and Joseph to consider what God had delivered to them in the news from the angel Gabriel. And yet it was true that God had chosen Mary, for she was a woman highly favored among women. She was a pure woman, a consecrated woman, a woman with God's plan for her life. The Bible tells us how this would be accomplished in Luke 1:35. The Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And in that phrase, the Son of God, we see the significance of the babe in the manger. We see the reason for the celebration of this season. That is that we celebrate not just another religious figure, not just a denominational event, but we are celebrating the fact that God became man and dwelt among us. And this is one of the cornerstone doctrines of the Christian faith. For were there no virgin birth, were it not the Holy Ghost that came upon Mary, then the work of the cross of Calvary would not be effective and powerful to cover the sins of the entire world. But because the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary, then we can celebrate the fact that the blood that was shed on the cross was the blood that would cover the sins of the entire world. Well, this morning I want you to see with me a miraculous arrival. I want you to see in the Word of God how God did come down to us, and rejoice with me as we study the Scriptures today. I want you to see in the first place this morning a promised arrival. This arrival was promised by God. This arrival was not something that was orchestrated by man. In fact, when you read the text, you begin to recognize that in many different ways, God ordained the time and the place. In fact, the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. This was according to God's timetable. And this promise was given in the Old Testament by the prophets that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come. I believe the reason the angels and the shepherds rejoiced is because they knew indeed this was the Son of God. Well, notice concerning this promised arrival, first of all, it was a promised place. The Bible says in verse number 4 of chapter 2, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Which is called Bethlehem. I like the name Bethlehem. It's a beautiful name. Sometimes it's given to hospitals and orphanages and even to churches, the name Bethlehem. It means the house of bread. And isn't it significant that the bread of life was born in the house of bread? Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. One pastor asked a group of children one day, said, "Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem?" And a little boy raised up his hand and said, "Because his mother was there." Now, that's not a bad answer, but there's a lot more to it than that. You see, God had promised, He had prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." You see, God had declared that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, and he was born according to the promise of God. I'm glad this morning that we can live our lives not based upon guesstimates, but we can live our lives based upon the promises of God. And when it came to the arrival of His Son, this was something that had been promised, even to the detail of the place where Jesus Christ would be born. It was a promised place. But notice, secondly, it was a promised person that was born. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now notice, if you would please, this phrase, her firstborn son. Think about this person, this baby in the manger. And think beyond just the scene of a baby in the manger, and again concentrate on the fact that this was the Son of God. Jesus Christ, this promised person, was the Son of God. Back in Luke chapter 1, we read in verse 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." In John chapter 5, we get a glimpse into his character and into his person. John 5:17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." You see, when Jesus Christ declared that God was his Father and that he was the Son of God, he was declaring his deity. That phrase to us, the Son of God, is somewhat commonplace in our Christian faith. We have heard that from the time we were little, many of us. But in the day in which Jesus Christ was ministering and was preaching, when someone said that God was his Father, then because of the concept of the inheritance and the family understanding of the Middle East, he was declaring, in fact, his deity. He was declaring that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that God was his Father. And while many in the Middle East today hate the doctrine of the deity of Christ and deny that God ever had a son, we rejoice this morning that he had a son and that his name is Jesus and that he is God with us. You see, he is the Son of God. And secondly, he is the living God. Jesus Christ came down as God in the flesh, and he lived among us as a human race. He was manifest in bodily form. Notice, if you would, in your notes, one of the most powerful Christmas verses. And it's not from Luke chapter 2, but it's found in 1 Timothy 3:16. And I love this verse because it really gives a synopsis of the gospel and a description of who Jesus is. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Now, would you say that phrase with me this morning? God. One more time. Now, we know that America is a great land, and with our freedom, we know that there are many religious beliefs in this land. And we have seen an influx of many religions in recent days from the Middle East and from India and even from Africa. Different religious influences have come into this land, which was founded as a Christian nation. And while we thank God for the freedom in this land to worship as one pleases, I think it is very important that Christians, in the process of change, never change and never compromise the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And what is that doctrine? It is the fact that God was manifest in the flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? He was God in the flesh. And when there are cries from the religious community to act as though Jesus is just another prophet or Christianity is just another religion, we must beg to differ, for Jesus Christ came down as God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Here is the mystery now revealed. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is a synopsis of the life of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 said that the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And so it was God who was manifest in the flesh. And Jesus Christ is God with us. Remember the prophet Isaiah. In your notes, you have Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And so it was that when Jesus was laid in the manger, oh, indeed, a beautiful child, indeed, a beautiful scene, but much more than just a religious scene, much more than just a celebration of a nativity scene, we are here to celebrate the truth of Christmas, and that is that Emmanuel is God with us. God became man. And my friends, that is so important. Because a few months from now, when we celebrate the Easter time and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, If we do not understand who it was that was laid in that manger, then we will never understand the significance of his death, burial, and resurrection. But when we have affixed in our minds that this is God with us who lived that perfectly sinless life, and God with us who hung on the old rugged cross, then we can appreciate the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, this was a promised arrival. God said, I tell you where this will take place. It will take place in Bethlehem. And I tell you who it is that will come. It will be my Son that will come. But notice secondly this morning, not only the promised arrival, but I want you to see with me it was a peaceful arrival. It was a peaceful arrival. In verse number 7, we see that scene. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now we see this morning the Savior indicating that Jesus would be the deliverer or the forgiving one. And I want you to see with me, if you would, here in the Scriptures, a very peaceful moment. In verse number 7, we see a peaceful moment. We see the stable and the manger. We hear of the swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes, as we have learned in the past, were the same material that would be wrapped around a body for burial purposes. No doubt the same material that was placed around the body of Jesus on that first Christmas morning was also wrapped around his body as he was placed into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It was symbolic of the fact that Jesus Christ was born to die. But we see here a very peaceful moment. We see the Lord Jesus laying in the manger, his mother Mary and his earthly father Joseph there with him. And what joy must have filled their hearts. And I hope that throughout these upcoming days, these next 7 days, that you'll take some time to let the peace of this season come into your heart. And that you'll take time to meditate and to think about what God has done for you in coming down to this earth. Beautiful poem is in the notes this morning that I think describes that first peaceful Christmas morning. And it says these words, Light looked down and beheld darkness. Thither will I go, said light. Peace looked down and beheld war. Thither will I go, said peace. Love looked down and beheld hatred. Thither will I go, said love. So came light and shone. So came peace and gave rest. So came love and brought life. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a peaceful morning indeed. A morning where God became man and dwelt among us. But more than the peaceful morning, I thank God for the peaceful message that is given. Notice in verse 13, the Bible says, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now here we see the message, and that is that through Christ there is peace and goodwill toward men. It is promised and it is given in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, it's hard to find peace during this busy season. I heard of two men that were so busy with all the Christmas events and all the challenges of Christmas, they decided that they would spend some time going out fishing during the month of December. They got in their little boat, they went out into the ocean, and the waves began to come up and crash upon them. A storm blew in suddenly. As they were trying to get out fishing, it was so bad, that little boat dumped over. They lost all of their tackle, all of their fishing poles. They climbed up on the boat, they floated back, finally to a little sandbar. They couldn't even get all the way back to the shore. The rain kept coming down. They were there for several hours. The sun was beginning to set. They weren't sure if anyone was going to find them. Right at the very last moment, one of the men said to the other, he said, you know, I realize today has not gone exactly as it was planned, but it sure beats Christmas shopping, doesn't it? That's about the sentiment that a lot of men have about this season. And some of you, like me, will begin Christmas shopping next Sunday night, and I'll meet you at Walmart Christmas Eve. We get so busy. There's not a lot of peace to this season, but if we'd stop and think about the reason for the season, you know what? Peace can flood your soul every single time. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We see a peaceful moment with the babe in the manger. We hear a peaceful message from the angels, goodwill toward men. But I want you to see also in this passage a peaceful meditation. Notice, if you would, the meditation of Mary. In verse 18, the Bible says, and all they that heard it wondered, verse 17 rather, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary pondered them in her heart. Have you ever had a moment in your life where it was just almost overwhelming to consider everything that was happening? Sometimes when the stress levels are very, very high, you just can't even keep track of everything that's happening in your life. And I imagine that while Mary had a great peace about who the Savior was, I imagine that that it was almost overwhelming at times to consider, this is the Son of God. Here's the shepherds. Listen to the message of the angels. Over and over again, in her heart, there was awe at what was happening. And notice what she says. The Bible says in verse 19, it says she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, back then, they didn't have cameras. They did not have the ability to have a Kodak moment so that they could relive what had taken place. My daughter finally called me this past week, a couple days ago, and she and Peter have been on their honeymoon, and I asked my wife earlier in the week, I said, honey, is it wrong to call your kids while they're on their honeymoon? Because they're not calling us. I'm not bitter about it or anything, but I have considered taking back some of their wedding gifts, and she said, honey, you don't need to call her. They just need time together. And finally they called the other night. And I was talking to Danielle, and she said, Dad, have you seen any pictures of the wedding? And I said, just one. I've only seen one. I was going to wait for you, and maybe we'll see some when you get back. And you know, pictures help us to remember and relive and revisit something that was joyful. But they did not have cameras at this time. And so the Bible says that Mary pondered these things, where? In her heart. In her heart. You know, I think if there's something that we as Christians oftentimes miss, it is biblical meditation. And I think there's a lot of gobbledygook Eastern mysticism, and people talk about yoga and meditation, you know, and sitting around meditating. But you know what? When you read the Word of God, you have something to meditate upon. You have truth that is worthy of taking time to ponder and consider. The Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Notice this, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Over and again, we see that Mary had a heart to meditate on the truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. And I believe that the peace of Christmas can come to anyone who first of all receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who recognizes that He is the Son of God, and who repents of their sin and trusts Jesus Christ to be their Savior. What peace comes into the life of someone who receives Jesus Christ. But then for those of us who are saved, may we, like Mary, take some time during this month, and may you find a place maybe in your home and you'll find a chair where you can sit down, or maybe in some place in your bedroom or some place on the back patio, and where you read through the Word of God and where you ponder what God has done for you, and then just sit there for a while and meditate on it and pray to God and commune with God and let the truth sink into your heart. Now, I recommend reading the Christmas story with your children. We've done it for all these years before they open their presents. But I've got to tell you, that has not been quality devotional time for our family. Kids aren't really into devotions when it's right time to open those presents. We do it just to keep the emphasis right. But you know what? Whether it's right before you open presents, or whether it's at Christmas lunch or Christmas Eve or sometimes during this week that are special, if you have time with your family to do other things, then take time to read the Word of God and meditate on the truth of the Word of God. I believe Mary pondered these things in her heart, and it gave her great hope and great joy to consider what God had done. Well, we see this morning concerning this miraculous arrival, it was a promised arrival. It was a peaceful arrival. But notice thirdly, it was a purposed arrival. There was a reason for this arrival. Come back, if you would, to verse 10 in our text. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a," what's that next word say? Savior. A what?
Savior,
which is Christ the Lord. Now, in the word Savior, we get a more specific glimpse into the purpose of God coming down in the form of man. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I trust this morning that we'll not miss this fact, not only to ponder who Jesus is, but to ponder the purpose for which he came. Now, we understand that for a lot of children, the whole purpose of this month is to be kindly so that at the end of the month they might receive some gifts. I mean, they do sometimes miss the purpose of it. Heard about a little boy named Alfred who wrote a letter to Santa Claus, and the postman received it and read it, and it said, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance. Signed, Alfred." Now, some of the kids have a way of getting that message across. They think that's the purpose of Christmas. But what is the purpose of Christmas? I want you to see, first of all, Christmas reveals the Father's love. The purpose of this season was that God's love might be revealed to a world that was lost without him. You see, the Bible tells us concerning his love in verse number 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." You see, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who reveals the Father's love to us. And let me tell you something about the love of God. I want you to understand the nature of our God this morning. I want you to know, first of all, that his love is a giving love. His love is a giving love. Someone said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." I believe it was Amy Carmichael who said that. You can give without loving. I mean, there might be someone who gives you something during this season. They don't necessarily love you, but they gave you something because maybe they felt they were supposed to. But you know what? When you love someone, you can't help but give to them. And God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave to us. And what a tremendous blessing to recognize that his love is a giving love. Heard the story of a couple of a husband and wife, kind of elderly folks. They had already bought each other a few gifts, and they were ready for Christmas. And the husband's name was Orville, and so he went to the hardware store, and he was purchasing a few items and threw some things into a cart. One of those items was a large 30-gallon trash can, and he was going down the aisleway with it, and he ran into a friend. He said hi to his friend. His friend looked at him. He looked at that 30-gallon trash can. He said, "You know, it gets harder every year to know what to get her, doesn't it?" And sometimes you feel that way. You don't know exactly what to give. You don't know what would be the best gift. Listen, God knew the best gift to the human race was forgiveness. And that's why he sent his son. He proved his love by sending his only begotten son. His love is a giving love. I hope that your love will be a giving love. I trust that in these days of expression, that you'll not miss an opportunity. Years ago, I read a little phrase, and it talked about obeying every impulse of God. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit lives within you this morning? You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes will put an impulse on your heart. Sometime He'll bring a name to you. I thought this morning of a pastor's wife whose husband passed away this past year, and I wrote that name down, and Terry and I will do something for her this week, and undoubtedly there'll be other things that the Lord will lay on your heart and mind. And we had a dear friend this week, a lady that was in our wedding, who passed away with cancer, and no doubt we'll do something for their family this week. And I'm sure there will be others in my life and in your life. And I want to challenge you to obey every impulse of God this week, and express love, the love of God in this world. And God so loved the world that He expressed His love to us by sending His only begotten Son. His love is a giving love. How many of you thank God that His love is a giving love? But I want you to see, secondly, His love is a forgiving love. His love is a forgiving love. You know, back in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the same Christmas story given in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Next to this, listen, "For he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people from their sins. Now, there may be some people who think they don't need Jesus Christ, but they are sorely mistaken. For the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason the whole world needs a Savior is because everyone in the world is a sinner. All of us have fallen short. All of us have failed. But God loved us so much that He sent a Savior to pick us up out of that miry clay, and to set our feet upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and to establish our goings by His wonderful grace. For the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And the Bible says it's not of yourselves. Notice that phrase in Ephesians 2:8. It is the gift of God. You know, forgiveness has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. It has been wrapped up and presented to us. And salvation is a gift to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8 and verse 20 speaks of it that way. "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." There were those who wanted to purchase the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. They thought it was something they could maybe buy from Peter. Peter said, "Look, you can't buy salvation. You can't buy the presence of the Holy Spirit of God." And I thank God this morning that salvation is still, 2,000 years later, a free gift, though this world is wicked and sinful, and though men have turned their back on God, yet He still reaches out in love with the free gift of salvation. What a tremendous blessing. You see, the purpose of this season is to reveal the Father's love. And secondly, it is to redeem mankind from sin. To redeem mankind from sin. We saw a moment ago, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Someone asked me once, "What are you saved from?" When you ask the question, "Are you saved?" What are you saved from? Well, that's a good question. Thank God we're saved from the penalty of sin. Thank God we're saved from eternal hellfire and damnation. Someone says, "You really believe there's a heaven and a hell?" My friend, if I didn't believe there was a heaven and a hell, I'd be out somewhere right now surfing or snowboarding or breaking my leg in some other fun way. I'm not sure what I'd be doing exactly, but I'd be out goofing around with the rest of the world doing something, fishing maybe. But I want to tell you something. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell, I think it's very important that we give of our lives to the work of God. I think it's very important that we worship God, that we get the gospel message into this community, that we have a Christmas Eve service, that we invite friends to hear the gospel, that we pass out a gospel tract or give someone a copy of the Bible. I think it's very important that we preach this message that Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind from their sin. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being saved from the wrath to come, the Bible says, we are saved by from the wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how I thank God for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's such a blessing to see lives touched and changed. It's such a blessing to see dads saved and moms saved and teenagers saved. I read even this morning in the newspaper about children in the valley and some of the poverty and crime even in this area. I thank God for the bus ministry of this church that brings hundreds of boys and girls in to love them and to tell them about Jesus Christ and to encourage them and to care for them. I received a letter a few years ago at Christmas time, and it's one of my favorites that I've ever received from a child in our church. And it said from a little girl in our church named Anna, and this is what it said: "Dear Pastor, Merry Christmas. Thank you for this church and for your preaching. I know that you work very hard to do that stuff. We are very happy to have you here. This year, my dad learned not to drink and smoke and how to be nice. Thank you, and God bless you. Love, Anna." I thank God that Anna's dad learned how to stop drinking. I thank God that Anna's daddy learn how to be nice. And I'm just saying that, my friend, is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a lot of Annas in Lancaster. There's a lot of daddies in Lancaster that think Christmas is just one more reason to go get drunk, but somebody needs to go to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and let them know there is more to life than another bottle of alcohol. There is an eternal life to consider, and Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. You see, redemption is available for all who will believe. Red and yellow, black, brown, white, they are all precious in His sight. There's not one soul that Jesus would reject. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My Bible says in 1 John 5:11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." My friend, if you do not have the Son of God as your Savior this morning, then you have no hope of eternal life. But when you receive the Son of God as your Savior, then you have the hope of eternal life in heaven. And what a great, great hope that is. Redemption is available for all who will believe. And may I say that redemption is God's gift to you and God's gift to me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? Only Jesus Christ can give you your best gift this year. Only Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. Only Jesus Christ can give you a home in heaven. And this miraculous arrival was more than a religious event. This miraculous arrival was a life-changing event for all who believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. My friend, do you believe that this morning? Have you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Oh, if you've never done that, I trust you will. And if you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, would you take some time like Mary did and ponder these things in your heart this week? Would you set some time aside just to worship God, to read His Word, and to thank Him for changing your life? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful arrival, for this wonderful way that you came. Sometimes to us, it's a strange way, but it's a tremendous way that you would be born in Bethlehem, that you would be born there in that stable and laid in that manger. Thank you for this love that you've shown us.